In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to Jesus Christ. As you would that men should do to you, do ye do also to them likewise. Treat others as you would want to be treated. The Golden Rule. We are blessed today, brothers and sisters, to hear a portion of the Sermon on the Mount from the Gospel of Luke, of the sublime teachings, instructions for living of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many want the teachings of Jesus to stand on their own as ethical guidelines for human interaction. They'll accept Christianity as far as to its moral teachings and offerings. But what makes the teaching sublime and exalted is who is saying these words. As Elder Epiphanius points out in his dialogue with an atheist, serialized in the bulletin currently, many people are willing to honor Christ for his teachings, but they don't want him to be God. They will honor Christ for his teachings. They don't want him to be God. And they reject his claim to be God. But the elder points out, as did C.S. Lewis, if Jesus claims to be God and is not, then he's a total fraud. And worse. And not well at all. And certainly not one whose words should be trusted. Jesus' words, if they are to be believed, have their basis in God. Have their basis in God and in God's behavior towards us. Let's listen again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Jesus, as the eternal Son of God, come in the flesh, at once perfect God and perfect man, in himself, the perfect image of God, the icon of God, come into the world to show the images of God how to perfect their image. That would be you and I. He's saying to us not simply to be good. He is saying, here's how God sees it. Here's how God sees it. Here's how God lives towards us. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to those who show no gratitude or care for God. God is even kind to the evil. As he expresses it in the Matthew version of the Sermon on the Mount from the Gospel of Matthew, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Jesus tells us about God, his Father, that he is kind and benevolent, even unto the unkind and unjust and malevolent. And he tells us that God loves his enemies. And thus he calls us, from that point of view, he calls us to godly living. To live like God. To think like God. The way God thinks towards humanity. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even publicans do the same? Christ says, if the tax collectors, the lowest of the low, love them which love them back. If you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the publicans do the same? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Be like God. Be like God, be Godlike. Imitate God in your dealings and in your feelings towards other human beings. So brothers and sisters, you can't take God out of the equation in Christ's teachings. He's making God the reference point, the very measure of his teachings. He's saying to us, because this is how God is with you, here's how you should be with each other. Because this is how God is with you, this is how you should be with others. And for believers, maybe that's an obvious point. But for those who would want to extract the divinity out of Christ's teachings, to sterilize out the divine connection, either they're not paying attention, maybe they haven't really read the gospel, or they don't want to see the whole truth of Christ. They don't want the real Christ. They don't want the real Christ. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' claims are outrageous. Jesus' claims are outrageous, and we can sometimes forget that. Here we are 2,000 years after the gospel and church life and so forth. It's easy to forget. But they certainly were taken that way by the Pharisees and many of the Jews at his time when he walked this earth. They didn't see a great teacher. They didn't see a prophet whose words should be received readily. They saw someone whom they thought might be possessed. Imagine that. They thought that he might be possessed because of his very words. And they said so to Jesus. They said to him, "Is it not so that you have a demon?" And said that he cast out devils by the prince of devils, which Christ countered was illogical for them to say. And there comes the famous, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." He says to them, "If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons through Beelzebub? But if I with the finger of God cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." So are we off topic? No. No, that's the point. That's the point, what Christ says. In Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has come upon us. And the teachings of Jesus Christ are principles of that kingdom of his Father. And to say that Jesus is just a nice guy, or even a prophet, or a great teacher, is to lie about him. It's a lie. It's to lie about him. It's to lie about his story. It's to lie about his claims, his confession. It's to lie about his teachings. Jesus' teachings are based on his being the Son of God and speaking to us on behalf of God the Father to express the will of the Father to us, to show us God. To express that will in the power of the Holy Spirit with signs and miracles and casting out of demons. As Lewis said, you have to face the claims of Christ. Either he is who he said he is, God's only son, or he's just crazy. A lunatic, as Lewis refers to it. For us, Christ's teaching and Christ's person cannot be separated. Cannot be separated. And in order, finally, for us to follow Christ's teachings, we have to follow Christ. And how can we begin to love our enemies? To those who don't love us in return, how can we be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful? First, by loving Christ, believing in Him, seeking Him, serving Him, to have total faith in him. Brothers and sisters, just to have faith now, just to have faith in these day and time is a gift. Is a gift from God. All the momentum is in the other direction. But to have faith in him, Christ's teaching is empowered to those who follow Christ. Psalm 27, which I used to read in my youth, the night before football games. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Brothers and sisters, if all we take away from the gospel today is I have to do better, I have to behave better, then you've missed the point. And you've missed the point, just as the world misses the point of Christ. Christianity is not moralism. Christianity is not moralism. Christianity is unity with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Beginning first here in the Eucharist, in the Eucharistic gathering, in Holy Communion, and then in our walk of prayer with the Lord. From that, then morality flows like water. Morality comes forth from that when we are with Christ. When we are with Christ. Finally, as we heard in our epistle, you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That, brothers and sisters, is way beyond mere morality. Just as Jesus Christ is way beyond mere morality. To encounter Jesus Christ is to encounter God. To listen to Jesus Christ is to listen to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory.